You may be seated. We are thankful with Jen and Asher that they came and helped us today in our worship team. Originally, Nate was going to be in a retreat with the youth, but then he decided that he was going to miss us so much that he decided to stay. But Nate will be back in game next week, amen? So thank you, and thank you, Asher and Jen. You rock for Jesus with all of our team. And I don't take for granted our worship teams. I mean, I have been in churches where I am the one who's keeping the rhythm, and that's scary. So that shows you we are blessing this church with all the musicians we have. So guys, we have been talking about where do we root our lives? Somehow you're going to root yourself somewhere. And sometimes we can be rooting in a place that perhaps is not too healthy or other places that we quite do not understand. But today we have been talking about rooting ourselves in the United Methodist Church. We can hear many things about our denomination, but there are so many, many great assets of our church. And we are going to talk about connectionalism today. But what we have been talking during these weeks is, first of all, we know that we are rooted in the religion of the heart. And orthopraxy means is, as Methodists, we believe in the mix of orthodoxy, orthopathy, and orthopraxis. Do you all remember those words? The nerd words. So that means it's mainly that as Methodists, we believe that what we think is connected with our emotion and is connected with our action. So we believe that those three reflect each other. Your beliefs make you connect your emotion and makes you react in a specific way. That's why we call ourselves the congregation and the denomination that has the religion of the heart. We also talk about grace. We believe that probably United Methodists are one of the best expressing what does grace means. We have that grace. You remember the one that comes before you are aware? How do you call that grace? Give me five, guys. Great, prevenient. That is just that one that is working with you before you're aware. Then there is that grace when it clicks. In some cases, some of you could tell me the specific day, the moment, the time when that happened. For some of you, have been a process. How do you call that grace? Go one. Justifying grace. Justifying grace. Yes. And then the other one, Neil, is the one that you mentioned. What was it? And you was Jason. Sanctifying grace. The sanctifying grace is that as Christians, we believe that our word and our salvation is not just about, okay, I received Jesus, check, I'm done. No, we believe that after that, then you grow and mature. You get stronger. You start healing. You start also growing more in your faith. That's what we call sanctifying grace. We also talk about this contrast. Many times when we think about holiness, we think we're going to be trapped. But with the United Methodist denomination and John Wesley taught us, no, when you're talking about holiness, you're free. You're free from sin. You're free from things that are trying to trap you. And now you can go and serve and do amazing things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and through his power. We also talk about faith and good works. What we believe reflects in how we act and what we do. And there is this balance between the way of salvation, the mission that we do, and formation. This is when I ask you, how many of you have been in a mission trip? Raise your hand. How many of you ended after that mission trip saying, I ended feeling that I received more than what I did? How many of you have done that? It happens. That's part of that formation of that. That's why we also connect with that. And last week, we talked about risk-taking mission. We talked about that if we have kingdom vision, we're willing to take risk. And today, we are coming to one word that is very well known in the Methodist Church, and that is connectionalism. If you look at the dictionary, you won't find it. It will tell you it's wrong because it's a word that we created. Can you say it? Connectionalism. But you need to say it with the accent, guys. It's different. The Mexican accent. Connectionalism. All right? It is one of the best things about our denomination. I absolutely love this. This is one of the reasons why I am in this denomination. Able to share and learn the truth in a larger context. It's the fact that we expose ourselves to people from other parts of the world, and through that, we're able to shape our faith. And we do different actions together. In other words, it's like, are you familiar with Match.com? How many of you found your spouse by Match.com? Raise your hand. You guys did, really? Ethel, I found in each service one couple. All right, it works well, right? Okay, good. It's working for you guys. Awesome. Match, any other match come here? No. Okay. Mine was seminary.com. Yeah, I found him in the seminary. So what happened is, as you can see in that match.com, is you find the gift and talents of one person and then the other person, and you see where they can click and match. So connectionalism is that. We connect with another group, we connect with another church or another person, and through that connection, we grow together. We think that this is something that we create as Methodists, but the reality is not. It started long ago. We can find that in the Bible with Paul. Actually, Paul could be probably the very first Methodist bishop who applied connectionalism. Because if we remember, in one of the letters, he's talking about a situation that was happening with the church of Jerusalem. I just want you to think this in perspective. Do you find Jerusalem over there? Wee, you see that? Okay, so Jerusalem, during the very first century of the church, they were going through a famine. They were really having a hard time. So Paul started doing some sort of like a collection or offering for the church in Jerusalem. And one of the best ones responding to that need were all of these ones here in Macedonia. You see this? Do you realize how far this is here from here? And there were no airplanes. So how did they move? Yeah, so, you know, from here, brother, to here. And how did you get there? Like, ship? I mean, it will take forever. Did they have cell phone? No, Facebook? No. So it was a long time. And it was a lot of step of faith. Like, okay, this guy is coming to tell us that there is a church that we don't even know, and we're going to support it. And Macedonia was an example because they were really a poor congregation. But with that, they wanted to serve and they took a step of faith and they sent an offering to Jerusalem. That's connectionalism. Now, this is also something we have done in this church. Look, connectionalism is what is going on right now in Liberia. You see what is Liberia in context with the United States? And through the United Methodist Church, we have a connection in there. And you see, and some of you have been in Liberia. Mindy, right? Is there? Okay. But we haven't been, all of us, in Liberia, correct? But somehow, we have been connecting with them. And look what happened. I received this email this week. This is an award that was given to the school that is with the Lavalas, and it told me, Lupina, we received 2018 and 2019. And Anna Lavala told me, Lupina, we received this award, and it's possible because of the help of Northern Hills United Methodist Church. Praise the Lord, amen. So you guys contributed to that. Have we been there? No. But are we making a difference in the name of the Lord? Yes. And here we are sending our high school students to Liberia to make a difference in that place. So that's connectionalism. Now, this is another one that is really exciting that happened here in our location in San Antonio. I don't know how many of you are familiar with that VIA, the bus system, that almost all of those buses are in the ministry center area. So VIA took a decision of suspending several of those routes. And instead of having buses, they are having a different system where you need to call ahead and they're going to pick you up or so. So it supposedly is going to be a better system, but it's a change. And when Pastor Abdon saw that, he was really concerned, thinking, you're going to make these people change something they have done in the same way for so many years. And they were trying to do that transition in just 30 days. So what happened is when he heard that, he was really concerned for the community that he knows. So they also tend to have these information meetings in times and locations where the main people who are using their buses can get there. So what happened here? Pastor Abdon came and talked to all of us here at Northern Hills. And in the next meeting, that's the bunch of Methodists showing up in there. They were not aware that they were going to receive so many, that they needed to put more chairs out. And when they start looking at them and all these questions they were asking, the people from VIA called the vice president of VIA, who was in another part of the country, to explain, a bunch of Methodists are here. And they are kind of scary. You know, because Pastor Abdon, he's always smiling, but you don't want him in your bad side. especially when he's serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So what happened is, Abdon with a big smile says, we're going to show up in the next meeting. And last week, he goes to this meeting, and before even he sat down, the vice president looked for him, and he took him and says, I need to talk to you before the other meeting. And they move Abdon apart, and they start asking him exactly what we were asking for, what were the needs of the community. And Abdon was mainly saying, the people who are using the buses cannot come and express to you their need and concerns. So here is the list of those needs and concerns. One of them is that you're doing a transition on 30 days. Can you extend the transition to 3 months so people can get used to the new system? So he explained that, and the guy stood up and announced, this transition is not going to take 30 days. It's going to take 3 months. So you see what happened in there is they realized the power of connecting. So they start asking Abdon, oh, so you are that church, the ministry center? And he says, no, I'm not just the ministry center. We're also 1604, and we are the United Methodist denomination. And we do this because this is the way we advocate for people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was, score Jesus, yes. And I was so proud of all of you guys who went, and also Abdon, you made a difference. Why did that happen? Because of connection. We are not the kind of denomination who we say, okay, you're starting a new ministry, the ministry center, goodbye, figure it out. No, we keep connected with each other. That's what makes the difference. Now, all of this is the outreach of the church, but the denomination specifically clarify. It says, the outreach of the church springs from where? The working of what? Of the Spirit. It's very important to remember that. We are not doing all of this because we are just cute, nice people. We are doing this because the Holy Spirit is empowering us to be able to connect in these ways. And the letter that we read today, the letter of John, 3 John, specifically tells us how to keep that in our lives. That's one of the shortest letters in the Bible. 3 John has just 11 verses. I recommend you that after we finish worship, you get to your car. Before you start your car, read the whole letter. You will finish in 3 minutes. But this is a very good letter in the scripture because it's very loaded. You see, where are you, Brian? You were telling me about more food that I give as a way to help you in examples. How many of you like the baked potatoes that are loaded? Raise your hand. That's your homework, guys. Today, you're going to go and eat a baked potato that is loaded. Because that one will remind you, that's the, like 3 John. It's a small letter, but it's loaded. It has a lot of great words in there. Stop thinking in the potato. Come back with me to the sermon. All right? Come back, guys. Okay. So, the truth, and one of the things that John is saying, here what happened is John was confronting a church with two extremes. There have one guy who was trying to play the card that he was a good Christian, a good leader, and people were trusting him. So when John heard about this guy, what John told them is, guys, you're a little bit confused. This guy is actually a gossiper, and he's also trying to create division. Don't trust him. And then he's talking about another guy, and he says, this guy is actually a guy with the heart in the right place. So what he's trying to explain to them is, how do you discern who's the good one to follow and who's the one you shouldn't? So he tells them, let me explain you how. You need to follow the truth. You need to walk in that truth. I like how this image is here. This is the King James Version that I barely can pronounce. For I rejoice greatly when they came out and testify of the truth that is in even as walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I like how it looks like they are walking in that Bible, but because you need to think in this. The word truth and the way it's telling us to walk in the truth is not like walking like in your own wild way. It's a very specific kind of walking what John is talking about. Let me show you how that walking. Alejandra is going to help me. You see, when you have two Hispanic women walking, it's very common that you will find us walking like this. It's just, I don't know why, right? We just walk everywhere. So when we're walking together, what do? We women, we talk. You know, was of course. And then we go cafecito with clan. But this is what happened. When you're walking with your friend, then you're walking together. This is what it's talking about. You're walking with the truth. Alejandra is the truth. So if I'm walking in my life around and it happens that I'm getting distracted, ooh, she's pushing me. She's keeping me accountable, right? And then what if I get I'm trying to get stuck. And I'm like, I'm tired. You know, she's going to make me to keep walking. And she's going to keep me accountable to keep walking. Thank you, sweetie. We practice. You can see, it was hard, but she made it. Bravo for Alexandra. So as you can see, that is walking in the truth. It keeps you accountable. But at the same time, this is very important. Whenever we hear about being accountable or like the truth is keeping you in the right place, we tend to think that it's oppressing. And many times when I hear about what does a Christian or Christianity means, many people think about it as an oppressing religion that is not going to let you go farther. But I want you to think in this way. When you need to confront and live different things in your life, and you're thinking that the only resource that you have to deal with that is your life, how far can you go? Honestly, I don't think we can go too far. I can tell you the many times of my life where I have told God, I really can't do this. I mean, sometimes it seems that it's my main conversation with God. God, I need to clarify to you, this is Lupina. I can't do this. I mean, and he's used to me. Okay, here comes Lupina again to say she can do that. But isn't it happened to you? We feel we can do that. And you know, it's true. But when we remember that the scripture is telling me, I need to learn to walk with the truth. The truth is the one that is going to push you to another place. Because the truth is going to proclaim to you who is your God. That's the very first thing. It's going to tell you, yes, you cannot do it because you're not relying on you. But you need to learn to rely on that mighty, powerful God who's going to guide you through that process. So just walk with me. Walk with me so you can see where I want to put you and where you want to go in my power. But it also helps us to see through that truth that there will be some battles that you feel they are bigger than you. Fear will try to come. Sometimes you are going to say, I can't get there. But the truth is going to remind you who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's also going to remind you that what you are confronting is smaller than the power of God. So when you hear that truth, you see how it frees you. You're going to walk in that truth and it guides you to see something different. So the scripture here is saying you're going to walk in that truth, but it's more of like, have you ever been in those streets that I know Carla's house has, like, you have this periphery, you know what I'm talking about, like a little circle, how you call them? That thing. So you go like that. You know what I'm talking about? That is exactly what it's talking about, truth. You go around it. You keep going around it. You do not get out of it. So that's what we're called to do. Walk in the truth in that direction. You never let the truth go away from you. By that, you're able to do this. The scripture says, we're going to be able to live by the standards of the gospel. That's another way to say walking in the truth. The gospel is going to be able to tell us who is God and also who you are in God's power. And that's the standard where you live. Because of that, then God is able to tell us you can do good work for God. Then you will remember what God is calling me to do is not depending on my strength, but it's depending on his power. Guys, what is happening in Liberia through Northern Hills is incredible. Do you get that? Do you understand that by this school receiving that recognition, that's the best school in the entire country from the United Methodist Church? And that is happening just by connection and helping. You remember also with Liberia when we sent the money for Ebola? It was through that money that these people were able to go inside of the villages and bring life. It's incredible, but it happens as a result of that connection, and we can see that we can do that good work through God. We are also capable to love, and the love that John is talking in here is not the Barney, you know, that purple dinosaur, that it, no, No, that not that law. Maybe you guys don't even know what I'm talking about, but that's long time in my generation. And I didn't like him. Actually, I didn't like him. It can bother me. I mean, it just bothered me. It reminded me when I was pregnant too, but that's another story. But the love that he's talking in here is love agape, is God's love, meaning sacrificial love. How can we do that? Just when you are empowered by the truth of God in your life. And then there is also this beautiful word in here. It says, we become partners in the Lord's work. The word partner in here is synergy. You know what synergy means? It's like when you have two forces or you have two different components and together are stronger. A few days ago, I needed to clean one of the faucets in my house. And I went and I bought those products that they say, if you have this one, it will solve you the problem of your faucet. But one thing, or one of them really was something new to me, because it says these two substances, they are in two different containers, but you need to combine them, and then you put it in the faucet. Don't touch it. It's clean. For an hour, and you're going to see it's clean. And yes, after 1 hour, that was clean. I mean, and I was like, I'm glad I didn't put my hand on it. I mean, it was powerful. But it was powerful until the two were together, not independent. So it's the same thing what he's telling us in here. He's calling us to be partners in the Lord's work, because in that synergy, we can get stronger. We're capable to make a difference. It is through that synergy that also we are capable to say, do not imitate what is evil, but concentrate, the scripture says, in what is good, because of that synergy. So we are called, all of us, to be walking in this truth. And after that walking is the one that is going to push us to be able to do things that are probably incredible for all of us. If I find a great example of synergy, it's probably this video with these ice skaters. How many of you have done it? You're checking. But you see, that synergy is the strength of both combined that they can do this powerful acrobatic act. It is God calling you and I to combine in his truth so we can act and do great things for his glory. So the invitation for all of us today, guys, is that not really to focus about where do I connect myself. God will provide those places. There are many opportunities where I can see God leading us to connect. We're trying to get with the deaf ministry outside of the United States. We're trying to keep Liberia. We're still exploring Guatemala. We're checking Acuña. We are also opening to see God. You're calling us to be here with our neighbors. We are called to connect in different places. But the main thing where we concentrate, more than finding those places, we're concentrating ourselves in, am I walking with the truth or not? So I invite you right now, while we sing this song, just explore your heart. And I want you to not compromise your walking. You see, there are sometimes we can get distracted and walk. Don't compromise your walking with the truth. Maybe you have been trying to understand or believe other things as the important things that guide your life. But perhaps God today is calling you to say, stop guiding yourself through that and start guiding yourself through the truth. And let the truth show you who is your God, what is the power that you have in that God, and the limitation of those challenges and battles that God is calling you to go and fight. So let's receive and accept our place as people who are walking in the truth.
Sing that again, shout it.